This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. Welcoming everyone online, the question was, hey, I'm raising money, but I've never done it before. If you were going to go play golf and you've never played golf before, how long do you think it would take for you to do it on your own to learn how to play golf comparatively to finding one of the best PGA professional teachers in the world to teach you to play golf? It's the exact same thing as raising money. The only difference is there's an added benefit of asking for help, of finding someone that sits in the situation you want to be in. And that's most likely if they have that expertise of that topic, subject matter of raising money. They also probably have a network of investors where, in the case of playing golf, all they can do is help you play golf better. They're not going to help you relationship wise like you do with raising money, because with raising money, it's a matter of figuring out value and articulating the quantitative value to the right people in order to effectuate success, but also structuring it correctly. You have to earn the attempt to raise money. You have to earn the achievement as well. But a lot of people don't do the work to earn the attempt. And in order to earn that attempt, you need to find people who know exactly how to do that. And so I'd be more than happy to help you. We have a lot going on in that space. We do our we do trainings on it. We have a lot of videos out there on it. We have a Monday networking group as well to assist, where I help one-on-one people who want to raise money. So reach out. And if I can't help you, I certainly know people that can. Does that sound fair?
It sounds fair, and also reassuring, because the two people that I've asked to be on my board of directors have both raised funds for people before. So
smart. And the board of advisors is a great way as well to expand with one ask and little responsibility, a group of people, community of people that want to help each other and know how to help each other. So sounds like you're on the right track, my friend. Thank you, Justin, for leading us off.
Beautiful. And what a great start to this BYOQ. You bring the questions, David will bring the answers. And I have to do a little bit of a special shout out, David. I'm not sure if you see it, but our good friend Scott Simon just jumped in. So Scott, it's great to see you. Happy Thursday. If you do have a question for David today, just either put something in the room chats or feel free to come off of mute. As of course, we love to not only see you here, but I love your gracious perspective that you bring to the table as well, my friend. So thank you for showing up and supporting. But with that chatter, let's carry on this BYOQ. I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Eliza. Eliza, it's great to see you. Happy Thursday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Yep. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm also out here in Los Angeles. And Justin, I know Justin's doing some great things, and I think the question he asked is extremely relevant for us all as entrepreneurs. And to kind of piggyback off of that, when it comes to creating partnerships, you know, building new products, and really just protecting yourself when you're establishing that partnership, I'm curious, like, I know there's definitely a way to approach it on a legal level, but also on a level of you know, building good relationships. I want to ask you, David, like, what are some of the values that you think are really important when you're doing that?
Well, I think values are the most important thing. In fact, the book I just sold is called Don't Do Business with Dicks. And it goes over the alignment of value as being the quintessential structure in which to evaluate a partnership. For me, those four values share one perspective by understanding how somebody finds light, love, and lessons in the mistakes, failures, and setbacks that occur, two, how forgiving they are of the mistakes, failures, and setbacks, and three, how accountable are they in the mistakes, failures, and setbacks, and then four, how inspired are they by the mistakes, failures, and setbacks. Notice that the common denominator of all the values that I have in a partnership revolve around how they deal with mistakes and voids and setbacks. Why? Because that's how winners win. That's how companies succeed. And it's not about what they do to be successful. It's how they react to mistakes, failures, and setbacks. And if I can stay aligned by understanding their perspective, by understanding their forgiveness, by understanding their accountability and inspiration in the worst of times. In good times, there's usually no problems in partnerships. It's the bad times, the mistakes, failures, and setbacks that create the discourse and the misalignment. And so as all of us entrepreneurs are looking for help in partnerships and collaboration, we also have to be well aware of the values. I use gratitude as a value and perspective of how do you find the light, the love, and the lessons in the mistakes, failures, and setbacks. I use empathy or forgiveness in order to effectuate ease of how you forgive the mistakes, failures, and setbacks. I use accountability as the mechanism to learn lessons of how and what you did to aggregate, to attract, to participate in the perception of the mistake, failure, and setback, to give control to the partnership. And then I utilize inspiration of being able to determine how long do you spend reacting to the failure, setback, and mistake in order to effectuate moving in a divine direction in divine time, not accelerating in the wrong direction. How well do you use wisdom and faith in order to shorten that distance of resistance that is created in any partnership when things go wrong, when they don't turn out the way you think they're supposed to, which is the majority of the time, which is why everything is dependent upon the perception, ease, control, and inspiration of the failures, setbacks, and mistakes that are inevitably going to occur to anybody that's trying. What do you think about that, Nick?
Today. And I know that Elijah, let alone Justin, set the tone, but appreciate it. If you guys have any follow-up questions for David as well, or if for some reason you haven't got a copy of his book, which we'll be more than happy to send a copy to you, sign a copy, and even pay for shipping, just reach out to David directly via email, david@dmeltzer.com. Once again, just david@dmeltzer.com. And of course, that can be found in the room chat. Now, with that said, David, we are approaching, we're almost knocking on the door of what is the second quarter here. I'm just going to do a quick reset of the room as more and more friends are continuing to join us. And then we will stay live here on Clubhouse with the next question. Does that sound fair?
Sounds more than fair. And we are almost in that fourth quarter. So thanks for moving this along.
Of course. Always a pleasure and an honor. Everybody, happy Thursday. This is David Meltzer's Power Hour for his what is normally a free Friday training, now going to be on Thursday today. The topic is, of course, BYOQ. You bring the questions, he brings the answers. So let's continue to share this room with all of our friends, family, and colleagues, anybody that would benefit from this incredible conversation. And as you have your questions for David today, use the hand icon in the lower right-hand corner of your screen to request to join the stage. And we will, of course, aim to bring you up. Now, with that said, I am going to pass it over to Luke Campbell, who has joined us here on stage. Luke, it's great to see you. Happy Thursday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask your question.
Happy Thursday, Nick and David. Thank you so much. My question is kind of tied to, since it's Thankful Thursday, so using that gratitude tool to find the light, love, and the lessons. And when doing so, how do you make sure that you're basically learning and applying, like, what you learn, how are you applying what you learn in an effective way each and every time you have the opportunity to learn a different lesson?
Well, for me, there's three criteria. And number one criteria in everything that I do, that I try to empower other people to do, three simple things as the criteria of evaluation of how I'm doing, including finding the light, the love, and the lessons. And the first is, am I doing my best? Am I doing my best? It doesn't mean I'm giving 100%. You see, sometimes you give less than 100%, but that's the best that you can do. And that's okay, because understanding energy, you can't give 100% 100% of the time. That's not human, or we wouldn't sleep. So we have to effectuate, are we doing our best by recovering, by accessing, by making mistakes, whatever it would be. So the first step is evaluate, did I do my best according to the circumstances, my skills, my knowledge, and my desire of the activity, which is either non-negotiable or negotiable, planned or unplanned, paid for or unpaid for. And so using this criteria, we can improve upon what our best is, but we need to know as a criteria, did we do our best? The second is, if we've done our best or not, what are we supposed to learn? So we're actually now seeking the lesson, not just allowing the lesson. We're seeking the lesson, asking and being more interested than interesting. What is it that I'm learning from this outcome that I don't understand or know, or maybe I'm evaluating at the time that it's occurring, knowing that I don't know what I don't know, living in radical humility to find the lesson, the light and the love in it. I have to seek and find the light, the love, and the lesson in circumstances, situations, events, people that may not seem or be deemed to be in alignment with the promotion, protection, and love that I want, or what I call the divine direction in divine time. And so understanding not only what doing our best means, but also seeking what I want out of every situation, event, or person, or incident. Yeah, just mute yourself. I'll take you next. But then thirdly is a component that a lot of people don't realize is incorporated in finding the light, the love, and the lesson. And it's, am I having fun? Are you capable of enjoying what you don't like or don't love? Are you capable about learning to enjoy what you don't like or love, or other people don't like or love? If you can do your best within the context and circumstances, reality of your day, if you do seek the light, the love, and lessons, seek the lessons of what you've learned from it, and are capable of learning to enjoy what you don't like or love, or what you do like or love, or what other people don't like or love, or what other people like or love, if you're capable of doing that, doing your best, learning lessons, and having fun, then you have the formula, the criteria in which to evaluate, how can I improve? How can I progress and align the behaviors to be synergistic, supplementary to where I want to be or better by doing my best, learning lessons, and having fun? That's how we find the light, the love, and the lessons. That's living the gratitude perspective, the attitude of gratitude, elevating Thankful Thursday, a Friday training on a Thankful Thursday. We are messing around with man-made constructive time, with the man-made calendar. It doesn't matter to us. It does matter that we are present, prioritizing what's important to this community. And I want to thank everyone for being here. Hopefully you are doing your best, learning lessons, and having fun. Thank you, Luke. I appreciate the question.
Thank you, David.
You got it, my friend.
Beautiful. Let's keep this train rocking and rolling. We are officially entering what is the second quarter of this incredible power hour. And I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic over to Dope Female Trainer. And I know that the dope part stands for dopamine, which is a very big topic that I know David loves to empower our community with. So with that said, feel free to unmute yourself and ask David your question for today.
You know, Miss David, I do apologize. I didn't even know that I was off mic.
Oh, you're human and so am I. So if I had a dollar, if I had a dollar for every time I screwed up, I'd be super rich.
I don't think I have a question. I don't. Can I just listen for a little while longer?
You can listen all day long. We love having people that listen. In fact, we work proportionally to how many ears God gave us to how many mouths. And so please listen. It's what we're born to do. It's part of being more interested. And if you do get curious or have a question, just go ahead, raise your hand. Nick will bring you back on with priority. So thank you.
Thank you.
You got it.
Beautiful. Let's keep this train rocking and rolling. We have Maximilian up next. So Max, it's great to see you. Happy Thursday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Happy Thursday, Nick. Happy Thursday, David. My question has to do when someone's expectations aren't met and they're frustrated at someone else. What advice would you give if you had no control in that person's expectation?
So I'm getting confused on the parties. So I have an expectation that wasn't met by someone else. Which party are you asking perspective from?
The perspective as in me being detached from the party that wants an expectation. I have no control in what they're expecting except for them thinking, hey, we're confirmed on something.
Well, first of all, understanding that there are mechanisms and tools and skills that we can use to better give us statistical success to stay aligned with managing and developing expectations. One of the difficulties that should bring humility to understanding that we can't always manage and develop expectations is that when we come to an agreement, orally, verbally, written, with consideration, payment, or if we come to a decision, in the instant of the second that we make that decision or come to agreement, time, emotion, and value changes. Therefore, we need to create mechanisms to reevaluate the time, emotion, and value in which was agreed upon or we made our decision upon, or else we are destined to have a separation in the management and development of that expectation. We do not control other people's expectations, but we can offer up systematic ways in which to evaluate the changes in that expectation from the time that we came to an agreement or made a decision. And so I use a simple or a very complex go-no-go plan from the time of decision or agreement in order to manage and develop the expectation, not meet it or exceed it. I'm looking because I know the time, emotion, and value changes in managing the expectation to make sure that we're still aligned with the situation, with the timing and risk tolerance and the value that was articulated quantitatively, even if the time, emotion, and value are changing. And most importantly, giving permission to a person who may have changed their expectation, which we have no control over, but allowing them to change their mind in order to effectuate, would it help them if we made these changes or made other introductions or stop for this time until something else changes that it is reverted back to the time, emotion, and value of the time that we made the decision or we made the agreement. And so many people put themselves into a vacuum of time, a vacuum of value, and a vacuum of emotion, which is the worst thing that you can do because one, you can't control other people's expectation, and two, it changes. And so we want to stay aligned, synergistic with the time, value, and emotion. So number one, you can detach your emotions, but you can get better at managing and developing that vision, that agreement, that decision by creating a go, no-go plan that says, hey, the next step in managing and developing the expectation is we have a call on Friday at 2 o'clock. And if that doesn't happen, then we can go ahead and start utilizing the three no rule to say, hey, I'm calling when you told me, hey, I'm calling back because you weren't there when you told me, hey, I'm calling back again because you're not there when you told me. Obviously, this isn't the right time. Call me back when it is. And giving some permission not to call you back saves you so much of your own time, emotion, and value. It saves yourself from chasing something that isn't going to occur because time, emotion, and value change. In the contrary, it's going to accelerate someone from making a decision that wants to do it. That even if time, value, and emotion changes, maybe it's equal to or greater than an opportunity than existed before. And therefore, because time, emotion, and value changes and circumstances did not allow them to live up to the go-no-go plan, but yet now it elevates the prioritization of that opportunity, and so it accelerates them getting back to you and saves you time, money, and emotion as well on that end of it. The key component of managing and developing an expectation is, one, detaching from that expectation, notating that at the time of agreement or decision, time, emotion, and value changes, and we need to give permission and a framework in order to effectuate that one understanding that time, emotion, and value will change. I need to create a system that allows for time, value, and emotion to change and a system that gives permission to someone to change their mind because time, value, and emotion changes. And then, therefore, we'll create and shorten the distance of resistance by not putting a false sense of certainty to the development and management of expectations. Does that sound fair, Max?
100%, it sounds fair. Thank you so much, David.
You got it, my friend. Great questions today. It's 12:22 here in California. That means it's 3:22 in New York, and they're in between. You know your time zones. I am the time wizard, the time freak. I am obsessed with my love language of time. That's why we nicknamed Nick the Nick of WOM, the well-oiled machine. He's the youngest mentee that I've ever had to understand sooner the calendar and time, and I'm so proud and enjoy traveling with the Nick of WOM. I also think it's funny that people actually call him WOM when we're traveling that are on here in Breakfast of Champions and other platforms. So Mr. WOM, you well-oiled machine of time, my love language, you know how to speak it, creating the congruency with my obsessive compulsive belief that time is the dependent variable of all matter in my life. And when I'm on time, I feel good. Anyway, it is that time. Should I take a question online or do you want to bring someone else up?
Man, oh man, are we connected, my friend? I was going to suggest I see all of the questions aggregating online. Let's take one from online and then we'll come back here live from Clubhouse in the Breakfast of Champions community.
All right. I will take it online. It's growing. We've got tons of questions. Sean, what's your morning meditation routine? What's the advice you can give to maximize the time and know what to focus in on? Well, Sean, my tomorrow starts tonight and my meditation routine starts tonight. You see, understanding that it takes time itself in order to effectuate meditation for the purpose of what you're talking about, maximizing time of the day and creating focus and intention on that which we want to maximize with our productivity, accessibility, and gratitude in the context of time. So what I want you to do is have a meditation practice at night, reverse engineering when you want to wake up into an unwinding routine with no negative energy. Notate there's several steps to learn to meditate. One is being able just to sit still. Two is just being able to be quiet. Three is then elevating a practice of awareness. And then finally, four, which reaches the meditative state in the morning, which is transcending the recovery and information via the meditation of the unwinding routine at night into the day to allow us to pay attention to give focus to, and to give intention to, so that we do say, think, feel, and believe aligned with where we want to be or better, to be productive, accessible, and gracious with the 24 hours a day that we're guaranteed, except for the last day of your life. You will be cheated seconds, minutes, or hours, I promise you. But every other day, live it to the fullest. Carpe diem. Be productive, accessible, gracious with the 24 hours that you're guaranteed. And the first step is the unwinding routine, putting your mind, body, and soul in a position to recover and access information, to be quiet, to be aware, to be able to transcend, and of course, sit still. So for me, unwinding routine includes temperature, includes anything that may create interference between me and my source. And if you want more information on the unwinding routine or meditation, just email me. I can send you my book. It's in there. I will sign it, send it to you. I will pay for shipping and the book. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com, or I'll just give you the unwinding routine and exercise and guide that I have, david@dmeltzer.com. So go ahead, start unwinding as a meditative practice. Utilize the third of your life that you're going to spend sleeping to not only recover better than anyone else, to improve upon the recovery each and every day so that you feel better each and every day, but also the access to the information so you can sit still and be quiet and be aware and transcend that information to pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences that we want, the coinciding of the universe through recovery and access. The unwinding routine gives me a maximized utilization of the 24 hours I'm guaranteed every day of my life, except for the last day, and the prioritization to know what to pay attention to and give intention to think, say, do, feel, and believe, to create the coinciding, the coincidences, consequences, results, outcomes, options, opportunities that I want or better. Living in that radical humility will provide us all a better place to be or become. All right, Sean, thank you for the great question. We are on with Sean and we are almost at halftime. You know, July 1st was halftime, Nick,
for everybody's year. And I wonder what kind of reset people did. I want kind of recovery and information they received at halftime we are receiving here. So I'm going to let you at halftime reset the room, talk about the BYOQ, but also talk about where we're going to be and how to be with us, where we're going to be. We're moving in 200 different cities this year. We're halfway there. We're on our way to a big weekend, to big places with big people, utilizing the stage theory, knowing that the whole world is our stage, and the bigger stages we sit on in person and the bigger people that we're around, the more access we have to the biggest stage, which is everybody. The whole world is your stage. Nick of Guam, it is almost halftime. Reset the room, please.
Absolutely. And as we approach halftime, I want to thank everybody here for joining us. This is, of course, the Power Hour with David Meltzer. And today's topic is BYOQ. You bring the questions, he will bring the answers. As we continue to share the room with anybody within our network we know would benefit from this conversation, as you have your questions for David today, use that hand icon in the lower right-hand corner of your screen to request to join the stage. And we will, of course, aim to bring you up. As it pertains to our schedule, big things, big opportunities, and big personalities starting tomorrow, Friday, July 19th, for the collab. David Meltzer and Dane Cook at YouTube Theater in Los Angeles, hosted by the one and only Rob Riggle, with incredible special guests like Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk and Nick Lowry, Reed Diamond from The Secret, and so many others. We, of course, have a VIP over-the-top dinner experience prior to the show. Of course, the show itself, where we will expand perspectives, and of course, laugh louder, combining both David and Dane together, not only for a fireside chat, but some Q&A live with the audience on stage, and then round out the night with a meet and greet. And if you would like your tickets, I know there are a few still available. You can, of course, get those on Ticketmaster.com. And of course, we then turn it around, head over to New York City for this Saturday, July 20th, and the Aspire Business Tour at Madison Square Garden, with incredible guests and other friends and speakers like Martha Stewart, Alex Rodriguez, David Goggins, Big Poppy, and so many more. Not only will David be speaking throughout the afternoon, but then in the evening, we will have another over-the-top VIP dinner experience, and we still have a few seats left. So if you would like to join on Saturday, just email David directly, david@dmeltzer.com. Once again, just david@dmeltzer.com. And of course, David's email can be found in the room chat. Now, with that said, David, we are perfectly
here. Wait, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So coming from someone who genetically and energetically was born to oversell, back and sell, manipulate value and a variety of other things that I've learned to get out of my habit. Why is it that people have to say we have a few seats left? Even if there is a few seats left, we're going to make room for more. Two, if we're offering people to come, and then there has to be some seats available, or else we wouldn't offer people to come. So we will make room regardless. We've had people overflow, especially in the dinners out into the hallway. And so I'm trying to stay away from the old, hey, last limit time left, one few seats left. No, we have seats available for everyone, and we will make room for everyone. And I do not want to be that guy. And we only want people there that want to be part of the community, that value the community of people that are there to help one another and know people that can help one another. So we'll make room for you. Just reach out. Please let us know how we can be of service or value, whether it's for trainings, meetups, holding court, speeches, TV shows, sponsorships, or our VIP dinners. It doesn't matter what we're doing, where we're doing it, at YouTube Theater, SoFi, Masterminds, or Madison Square Garden, or if I'm stopping by WealthCon with Ryan Pineda on the way home, whatever we're doing, just we're pulling up a seat next to us. And remember, pull up a seat next to you as well. Thank you, Nick. Hopefully we're all learning lessons together. I just, I hate the cringiness of, hey, there's a few seats left that I hear from so many people online. So thanks for allowing me to teach.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the lesson more than anything. And as we continue with this incredible BYOQ session, let's take another question here live on Clubhouse. I know we have Xavier who has been patiently waiting. So it's great to see you here. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy Thursday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask David your question.
Oh, wow. Well, what a pleasure.
Hey.
Thank you so much. Nick and David.
Hey, Xavier, I have a quick question. Is your nickname the X-Man?
It is, and it's such a popular one. I have to send it.
It's so good. I'm jealous. I wanted to be Xavier McMeltzer. Just call me the X-Man. I love that.
X-Man. Everybody, I think we should all learn to access our inner X-Men.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, thank you for allowing us to have fun with your name and welcome, X-Man. We're looking forward to your question.
I know you've got a lot to do here and what you're up to. I liked the teaching that you just did, and it's motivating the question I want to ask, which is, because I think sales have gotten a bad rep. I think there's an art to sales where people really feel they're getting a benefit as opposed to feeling like they've been sold. And I think publicity could be the same way, as opposed to being, you know, watch this, do this, go here. The feeling should be more that they're being shared with, that they're being invited into something that they really want to be a part of. So I'd like to hear some of your thoughts on, in the spirit of that teaching you just did, publicity.
Yeah.
The new approach to it, because sure, as an artist, I've got all sorts of things that I'm doing that I'd love more eyeballs on and would like to share, you know, and I'm excited about sharing it. I want to do it in a way that, you know, isn't cringy.
Right. Yeah. And look, 10% of the people are always going to think it's cringy no matter what you do. 10% of the people are going to love it no matter what you do. It's the other 80% that we want to feel invited, not obligated. We want them to feel value in this community of people that are going to help each other and know people that can help each other. You want to invite people into your community. And I think in the promotion side of things, it's really important to understand value itself. And I've simplified value to, hey, if what you're inviting me to do is going to give me more of what I like, or is what we're going to do or you're inviting me to do take away something I don't like. And to me, at its core, I'm trying to transcend value in its simplest form of, look, this is what we're doing. If it provides more of what you like, then come. Or if it takes away what you don't like, then come. But if it doesn't have value to you, then don't be forced into or compelled to come because you have a fear of missing out. And I find that a compelling event should be value and your ability to articulate a quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for. And part of that too, if there's uncertainty, for example, the collab, there's a lot of uncertainty about what is the collab, you know, and it's just a collaboration of high frequency individuals that are there to help each other and know people that can help each other. How often do you get Rob Riggle, Dane Cook, Marshall Falk, Nick Lowry, Maria Diamond, Diane Cannon, Rick Jordan, like the list goes on and on, all in one place, helping each other and being able to ask questions of each other, bringing people from the audience up on stage with Dane, Rob, and I, going and asking questions and having conversations with the highest level individuals. It's what you may like, or it may take away some anxiety, fear, or entrance into a community or introductions you've been dying for, or a picture. And so my suggestion and appreciation to you asking, how do I promote without promoting? It's understanding value and articulating that quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for, and then guaranteeing it. One of the nice things about the position that I've built and I've earned in the attempt and the achievement of, I can guarantee everything I do. So if there is uncertainty or doubt, then just come and I'll guarantee that it has value, that it's either going to give you more of what you like or take away what you don't like to exceed the value of what we're asking for in order for you to be there, whether it's a donation to the Unstoppable Foundation or to be in and cover hard costs for the VIP experience or to sponsor an event or to pay retail, because some people won't take what we offer. but you need to be able to guarantee it if you're in a position to do so, to alleviate any of the emotional aftertaste of being sold or promoted to. There's always going to be a tinge of cringe when doing so and informing and inviting. People do have a fear of missing out, feeling obligated, but we're trying to dissolve and dissipate that feeling, which was what the lesson and the purpose was, a deeper understanding of value and being able to articulate the quantitative value. And if you're in the position to guarantee value, that's a deadly formula to have people that are invited take the chance with their time, emotion, and value and show up to something that they may not be certain of. Did that help a little bit, give clarification to a very poignant issue?
Oh, it helps a lot. I mean, you know, it's, you know, relationships, right? And developing and maintaining them in a healthy way, just like our bodies. We develop and maintain a healthy relationship with our bodies and so that we can look great naked for as long as possible.
Exactly. Because if you're healthy, you get as many wishes as you want. If you're not healthy, you only have one wish. And you want, when you take your clothes off, for people to wish that they're with you, not running away from you. So that's a perfect example. No, it's a beautiful mind. Watch the movie. You'll fully understand my perspective.
Lastly, I do want to follow up with Nick after this, because I'm not sure if, how much website link sharing you do, but I would like to see if I could begin a conversation with you on that.
Of course. Yeah, we are very open in our community to those kind of conversations, that we can help each other and know people that can help each other. And I would love to understand how we can link share better, which is a digital way of collaborating as well. So Nick@dmeltzer.com. Reach out directly to Nick@dmeltzer.com. Thanks, X-Man.
Thank you.
You got it. This is Xavier McMeltzer with the WOM Nick. And that was our favorite X-Man joining us with an incredible insight on promotion, protection, and love, which is created by value. Nick, speaking of value, what do we have up next?
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and take a question from online, and then we will come back here, as I know Colleen is patiently waiting and ready to rock and roll.
Awesome. All righty. Here we go. When teaching asking someone, does that make sense, can often lead to misalignment and expectations. What is a better question to ask that confirms the person is aligned with what you have taught or requested them to do so? Does that sound fair? Or can you summarize what you heard? Is a great thing, because it's not what we say, it's what people hear. And so if we ask someone, hey, would you mind summarizing what I said, because I'm not sure it made sense to me, it's probably a better way to get alignment and make sure that they heard what you said, or you said what you intended to say. So many times I watch a video and it wasn't what I intended to say. So I can imagine it wasn't what I intended them to hear, because I am trying to feed something that I think they're listening for, or plant seeds under trees that I may never sit under. And so if you are looking at, does that make sense, then go ahead and ask for an example or an illustration that it did sink in and make sense, by just simply asking, hey, just, that didn't sound right to me. Could you repeat what you heard so I can clarify further? Because, you know, just reviewing what I said didn't make as much sense as I thought it did, or that seemed very fast and complex. I just want to make sure that we're aligned. Could you summarize what we were talking about, just so I can see where clarification is necessary? Does that sound fair? And so when teaching, asking people, does it make sense? Look, people all the time say yes to me and they don't mean it. I'm going to repeat that. People all the time say yes to me and they don't mean it. And that causes a lot of confusion. It does not manage and develop expectations well. And people say yes for the sake of the wrong things. They say yes, relying on unstable data. They say yes out of emotion without having any credibility or logic. They say yes to please people, even though they know they can't effectuate the yes. They say yes at the time without taking in consideration time, emotion, and value are going to change the instance they say yes. People say yes all the time and don't mean it. One of the things that we want to do when we are teaching is to make sure if they're going to say yes, that they mean it. And that what they mean is aligned with what you think they mean. And summarization and confirmation is a key component and tool in order to facilitate that alignment of learning. What a great question. We're learning a ton here. Hopefully we're aligned. Hopefully that makes sense. I'm just kidding. Hopefully you can summarize what we're saying, capture and resonate what is best and the best lessons for you. Take it, use it, access it, share it, empower others with it. I promise you, you'll build your own community at a frequency of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. Nick of Wam, we are still rocking and rolling. Why don't you reset real quick? We're going to bring Colleen on. We're in the last quarter, I think, giving people an opportunity to get my book, to get the guide on any of the things, exercises, the Thankful Thursday Gratitude Challenge, Student of the Calendar, the 5 daily practices, whatever we've talked about today, go ahead, reach out to me. I'm happy. I'll sign it, send it, pay for shipping in the book, or send it to you immediately. If it's free, it's me. Just ask. All right, Nick, go ahead, reset the room, and let's finish the fourth quarter. Hold up the four fingers, if you don't mind.
Four fingers are up, ladies and gentlemen, as we are rolling into the fourth quarter of this beautiful power hour with David. Just a quick reset here as everybody continues to invite everyone from their network. This is, of course, BYOQ, the Power Hour with David Meltzer. You bring the questions, he brings the answers. If you do still have your questions for David today, feel free to use that hand icon in the lower right-hand corner of your screen to request to join the stage, and we will bring you up. And as David is mentioning, whether it's the Gratitude Challenge or his 5 daily practices or any of his other guides and exercises, his book that he will send to you, sign a copy, and pay for shipping, it is completely free, people. Or whether it's the upcoming events that we have, of course, the collab tomorrow night with Dane Cook, Marshall Falk, Rob Riggle, and so many more, or, of course, Aspire this upcoming Saturday, the 20th, in New York City, with Tim Story and Martha Stewart and A-Rod and Big Poppy, David Ortiz, and so many more. All you have to do, people, is reach out to David. David@dmeltzer.com. Once again, just David@dmeltzer.com, as we want nothing more than the opportunity to bring you closer to our community, let alone the opportunity to be of service and provide value. Now, with that said, I will pass it over to the one and only Colleen for the next question of the day. Happy Thursday, Colleen. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Nice to have this on a Thursday in the afternoon. I am really looking forward to the collab tomorrow night. And so one of the things that both you and Dane have in common is this sense of resilience. So I was wondering, what kind of strategies do you put in place to create and build upon your resilience?
Oh, what a great question. Resilience is created through a commitment to consistent behavior and being able to identify our reaction to fear. And so for me, if we are consistent, then we'll be persistent. And if we understand the clues, patterns, and choices that we make in effect with the instant and obvious reaction to fear, then we can shorten that distance that people create for themselves of resistance. And the less resistance, the easier it is to be persistent, to be resilient. And we also want to manage pain and purpose, because as long as our purpose is greater than our pain, we will always be consistent, persistent, and resilient. When our pain is greater than our purpose is when we quit, and then we create the zeroing effect of not being committed to consistent behavior, of not being persistent in what we do, and not pursuing our own potential. We start falling into the trap of looking for what other people want for us, what we don't have, what's missing. We start lying, cheating, manipulating, and denying what is the pain that exists in our lives. And we do the same thing with the reaction to fear. And in the context of understanding how do we shorten the distance of resistance through the wisdom and the faith that we're protected and promoted, comes one key component of human nature, that if we can do what human nature doesn't want us to do, which is commit to being consistent, commit to everyday behaviors which are aligned with where we want to be or better, and identify and shorten the amount of distance in the bad behavior defined as that which interferes with where we want to be or better. And if we can create a committed non-negotiable behavior and tie in my love language, which is time, if we can tie in a minimum amount of time every day to the good behaviors and make them a non-negotiable, so we stick to the commitment to be consistent, which leads to persistence, which then elevates the resilience of being able to have a higher purpose to what? Allow higher levels of pain. Notating that what? Purpose has to be greater than pain in order to facilitate resilience. Resilience is our ability to substantiate and be resilient to pain, setbacks, failures, mistakes, pain, all the defining moments that are not aligned with what we want to do, pain, people attacking us, pain, insecurities and fear, pain, all reaction to fear, the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, pain. Is your purpose greater than the pain? For the sake of what are you utilizing your time today in alignment with where you want to be or better, elevating your self-image, knowing you'll never overachieve it, and two, making sure that you're finding the light, the love, and the lessons in the past by giving meaning to the past aligned with where you want to be or better. It's so difficult for people to understand resilience because they don't understand that resilience starts with a commitment to non-negotiable behavior, and you need to tie in time every day in order to facilitate non-negotiable behavior that is aligned with where you want to be or better, and identify through the reaction to pain, which is, or reaction to fear, which is instant and obvious. You know when you're pissed off. You know when you're anxious. You know when you're worried. You know when you're guilty immediately. You may not even know why, or you may think you know why, but it doesn't matter, because all you need to do is shorten the distance of the time that you're spending in guilt, resentment, separation, inferiority, superiority, anger, whatever it may be, reacting to fear, in order to shorten that distance through wisdom and faith. So why? So you can spend more time in good behavior, committed consistently every day, persistently, without quit, in the pursuit of what you want each day, according to the circumstances of the day, your self-image of the future and the meaning of the past. And when we align all this together, I promise you, you will live in abundance. You'll understand what I mean when we talk about give more, receive, give more, be given more, receive more, ask for more than more in a universe, a system abundant, infinite with thought, so that you can think, say, do, and believe everything that you want in alignment with where you want to be, and identify when you interfere with it with your reaction to fear, F-E-A-R. It is difficult to be committed to be consistent. It took me 9 months just to say thank you every day for 30 straight days. 9 months to take 0.1 seconds out of my day in an absolutely free circumstance of saying thank you, in teaching discipline and commitment to daily activities, because the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do. And if we elevate our awareness to the most impactful, simple things in our lives, we will have exponentiality of outcomes defined by good behavior, defined and given good progress in alignment with where we want to be or better, which requires wisdom and faith. And that's the system in which I teach and empower others to do so. If you want to join those teachings, show up every Friday, show up to our Monday group, show up to our Ask Me Anything, show up to our meetups, our holding courts, our speeches, our VIP dinners, go ahead and get on the wait list for coaching, whatever it is that's going to help you use our portal, our exercise. We have a search engine, search.dmeltzer.com. Find all my videos by topic. It'll sense and search the exact words that you want. search.dmeltzer.com. You can email me anytime, david@dmeltzer.com. Read my books, come to the podcast, come to the TV shows, the movies, everything that we have going on, with one sole purpose: to allow your purpose to be greater than your pain and give you the tools in which to effectuate it. Thank you, Colleen. I know you're on your path, your journey of good behaviors to get to where you want, with the good progress to where you want to be or better. Nick of Guam, we got more time than you even know. Who's up next?
Absolutely. I'm going to pass the microphone over to your favorite two letters in the alphabet, which is, of course, GG. So, GG, it's great to see you. Happy Thursday. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask David your question.
Hello. Happy Thursday. And I'll say, I love this training. I love the question. So, it's getting better and better. My question is, how do you forgive the unforgivable when something is done to you and people say this is unjust, and you still have to forgive it to be able to become a better person?
Well, my hack for this is to ask myself, have I done that before, or what have I done before that's similar in frequency to that which is done to me, for me, through me, attacking me, whatever it may be that I perceive. And the first step is to understand, have I done it before, anything similar to it? Because about 99.9% of the time, I've done exactly what it is that has created the interference, or done something similar that is of similar frequency that has created the interference. And if I can see that I've done it before, it becomes a matter of forgiving myself for doing it. So then it's quite easy to forgive them, because most of the time we're just projecting what we don't like about ourselves, or an incident that we didn't like about what we did in the past. And so we exaggerate the reaction to the circumstance by projecting the insecurity that that's just elevating my awareness to how shitty I am or have been. And instead of projecting that insecurity and attacking the other person with the need to be offended, right, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, worried, or whatever else you do, simply take a deep breath and drop and forgive yourself and say, I have done that myself, or have done something at the same frequency as that. Therefore, I need to forgive myself so I can live in ease and forgive other people and allow them to live in ease too. Forgiveness is the key to ease. If you want to live in ease, not dis-ease, then forgive yourself and give it to others. And the best way to forgive ourselves is to relate in a framework of how similar our actions and activities are to that which has just offended us or hurt us or been an attack to us. And when we put up a defense, we automatically have an attack. And forgiveness puts down that defense and allows us to give ease and receive it as well, and dissipate and disappear the dis-ease that creates the interference in our life and accelerates us in the wrong direction, or slows down the exponentiality of the outcomes that we want are better. Live with forgiveness. I promise you, you will live with ease, not dis-ease. Great question, Gigi. We got about 6 minutes left. Nick of Guam, that's a well-oiled machine, making my heart sing with the relativity of time and the productivity, accessibility, and gratitude that is a feed, an emotional aftertaste of that time. Thank you, Nick. What do we got next?
Absolutely. Let's stay live here on Clubhouse. I believe, you know, with our frequency of time, David, that we both share, I think I'm also picking up on what we call the name butcherers. I'm not the best, so I ask for everybody's grace. But I believe we have Tahir here that has been patiently waiting. And again, thank you for your understanding if I did not pronounce that correctly. But my friend, I love the profile picture of I'm King, and we would love the opportunity to hear your question today. So feel free to unmute yourself and ask David your question. Thanks so much for joining us.
Assalamu
alaikum. Gracias.
Hey guys, I appreciate you guys. Wow, what an opportunity.
Thank you.
I'm from Sudan. So it's my first time to talk to you guys. I'm so happy. My question is, everybody has a dream, right? Everybody wants to be successful.
Yes, this is my favorite dog. Coco can't control herself. So go ahead, finish up with our success question. Thank you for your patience.
So I have my goal written down on a wall, you know, the whole nine yards, you know, but something seemed not working, you know.
Yep.
I mean, How do you, like, get past all the inertia? I mean, how do I jump into action? And how do I know this is my purpose? This is what I'm cut out for, right? So
yeah, well, you don't know, because the thoughts about your purpose are your purpose. And if we can break it down into daily activities of knowing each day, hey, concerning the circumstances that exist today, this is what I want today, because I've been guaranteed 24 hours a day, unless it's the last day of my life, then I'll be cheated minutes or hours, maybe seconds. But more importantly, what is it I want today? Knowing I don't know the future, But what do I want today according to the circumstances that exist today? Who can I help and who can help me? How best can I get that done to get and do my best, learn lessons and have fun today according to the weather and the in-laws and the interest rates and the economy and the politics and the religion and the separation, whatever it may be, according to what exists today, what is it that I want? Who can I help? Who can help me? And how can I get it done with the 24 hours that I'm given today? So then, feeling abundant and grateful, I say, wow, I have so many options and opportunities and touches of favor. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I can prioritize all the different options, opportunities, and touches of favor that exist in the world are more than enough and align it with one thing, where I think I want to be or better. So if I think I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a candlestick maker, if I think I want to empower over a billion people, if I think I want to make over $1 billion, if I think I want a new car, if I think I want something, then I know what I want according to the circumstances today. So I can find who I can help and who can help me. And I can start working on how to go get it by being intentional with my time, by saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to say this, I'm going to think this, I'm going to feel this and believe this today, according to all of those external variables, by giving meaning to the light, the love, and the lessons of my past, the failures, the setbacks, the mistakes, the void shortages and obstacles of my past, the defining moments of my past, the historical relevances of my past. I am going to align the light, the love, and the lessons, the meaning of the past with what I'm going to do, say, think, feel, and believe with what I think I want in the future, considering the personal circumstances that exist today, and not limit myself with a self-image that says I can't, but instead I can. And when I realize that my job is just to prioritize what I think according to the 5 daily practices and apply my why by knowing the thoughts about my purpose are my purpose and not trying to go seek a why that already exists because I'm connected to and through an omniscient, all-powerful source that loves me more than my mom. It's omniscient and all-powerful. It's infinite in its nature. Therefore, I just have to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with that. So instead of trying to get more healthy, more happy, more wealthy, and more worthy, I know that I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. I just got to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it. And it's the 5 daily practices aligned with my self-image and the meaning of the past according to the circumstances of today that's going to get me there or better to where I want to be or better or where I think I want to be or better. I will send all of you the 5 daily practices. I promise you, if you are committed to being consistent in those practices, you will live in abundance. You will live in a world of more than enough, able to give more, be given more, receive more and ask for more than more, and then give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more and ask for more than more than more. You will live in the world of more than enough. What a great way to end. It's exactly 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Come and join me tomorrow. Go to Ticketmaster or email me. We'll work with you. Come and join us at the collab. Elevate the stage and elevate the people you surround yourself to take advantage of the world as your stage. And if you're not on the West Coast, then coast to coast, back to New York. I will be at Madison Square Garden with Stephen A. Smith, Martha Stewart, David Goggins, Big Poppy, A-Rod, Tim Story, Dan Fleischman, many, many more. We'll be speaking all day. And then we have a VIP dinner at night. Once again, Ticketmaster, or if you need special attention, go ahead, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you can't keep up with us, we'll be in Vegas on Sunday. Hopefully, just go ahead, get in our text community so we can invite you, not obligate you to join us. 949-298-2905. Nick of Wam, let's close out the room.